God does not want anyone to perish. He provided us with His Son. He also provided us with the Bible as a means of teaching everyone what God wants. And God also put barriers to keep people from going to hell. And tonight we want to look at a few barriers in which God has put up to try to prevent people from going to hell. But you know, people that want to go to hell, they're going to go to hell. They're going to defy God. But it doesn't have to be that way if they would only listen. And when you think about a barrier, I think we all understand what barriers are, because as we travel down the roads, there are barriers that are there to stop us from basically killing ourselves. When you are going across a bridge, there are barriers that are in place that if something happens, you will crash, you will tear up your car, but hopefully you won't die. There are barriers in the middle to keep cars from jumping from one side of the road to the other. That is to stop you from dying if that occurs. Well, God does the same thing. And He wants to keep us from dying. As we know, there is two ways of life. It's going to be life eternal, or it's going to be life in hell or the lake of fire. And God tells us how not to go. For He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Now He tells us there are only going to be a few people that are successful to make heaven. And we should all be asking ourselves that question, am I one of those that will be successful? Your success will determine how you view God's word. Do you obey His word to the letter? Or do you think it's okay to change? We find in Luke 13:3, and someone said to Him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And He said to them, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. If you paid attention to our lesson this morning, which showed how people viewed God's word, how they came up with what they thought God's word was all about, if all of those individuals would have used the Bible, it wouldn't have been a problem. But they didn't. They used portions of the Bible. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is in the Bible. All you have to do is get in it and study it. And in reality, the New Testament may have some difficult parts there, but for the most part, the things that will save your soul are very easy. All you have to do is follow it. But of course, if you don't want to, then you're going to have to pay the penalty. Ezekiel 18:23 says, "Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked?" Think about that. When God created this world, he provided a way of escape. He did not want anybody to die. So he's saying, "Have I pleasure in the death of the wicked, declared the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn away and whether and he should turn away from his evil ways and live." That's all God wants. For us to turn away from our sin so we can live. Psalms 16:11. "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forever." All we have to do is obey. As I said, there's two lives. The life that we will spend with God in heaven, or the life we will spend eternally in the lake of fire. Another thing that we want to look at, and to make sure we understand that there are but two kingdoms. We're either going to serve one, or we're going to serve the other. The choice is yours. And in some cases, it's an easy choice for people. It's easy because they don't want to do what God wants them to do. We find in Colossians 1:13, "He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." He did all of that to keep us from going to hell. But you know, every day of our lives, we are working to go somewhere. We're working very hard to go somewhere. And that question is, where are you going? I thought of something today at dinner, and I was looking at people. God knows everything. God hears everything. He knows our thoughts and all of this. And I was thinking about, you know, we see some programs where people have this ability to read people's thought, and before they get it under control, all the thinking of people is driving them a little batty. And I thought about all the thoughts of the people that was going on today as I was sitting down to dinner. What are they thinking about? What is on their mind? In some cases, what was on their mind is the clothes that they wear. How can they show off more than what they are and be legal? How possibly church don't mean nothing? Sunday is just another day. What is it do we think of? And remember, God hears it. God sees it. And so, as you think, as you do, you may go to one of two places, or you may be in one of two kingdoms. In Thessalonians 5:9, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Think of how many people that do not love Jesus, that do not care about Jesus. But this same Jesus is going to judge us on that last day. And God is giving us the information about this person, Jesus, so we can understand. As I always say to people, everybody has a belief system. You take all the little babies that we have in here. They got some kind of belief system. As they grow and grow, their belief system is going to be based upon what their parents teach them. Or it's going to go based upon what they believe. And we as parents need to teach our children to believe in God the way He say we must believe in it. Because if we don't, we won't be in His kingdom. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 12. We exhort each one of you and encourage you and charge you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who called you into His own kingdom and glory. See, God wants us to be in His kingdom, not the kingdom of the devil. There's people out there today that believe in all of these things, and they will be saved. But the Bible says in Galatians 5:21, envying, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And there is more scriptures that will tell you who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, our job is not to fall into any of those categories. Our job is to teach people that are in those categories to get out if we have that opportunity. But the thing is, if you want to believe, it's like people that talks about drinking. Well, the Bible does say drunkards shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So now you drink all you want, but if you die in that drunken stage, guess what? You're lost. So the Bible is telling us, stay away from the kingdom of the devil. In Matthew 12:26, and if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Anybody that's on the outside, not following God, not obeying God, is in the kingdom of Satan. And whether we like it or not, it teaches if we don't obey God, then Satan is our father. I didn't say this. This is what God says. And so, if you don't want to change, that's up to you. That's your free choice. Luke 11:18, and if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub. So we see two kingdoms, two ways of life. Which is it? Now let's look at one of the first barriers that God puts up. The first one is the Bible. He gives us the Bible. And in that Bible is information that will keep us from going to the lake of fire. Now how did this get there? This ain't supposed to be there. Well, just remember that Exodus later on. Who is on God's side, come to me. We'll get back to that later. Revelations 2 and 8. The Bible teaches, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And we know that was not prepared for man. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Okay. The Bible tries to stop people from going to the lake of fire. Have you ever tried to stop someone from not getting themselves hurt? For example, if someone, family members, are in danger of some sort, and they want to go to them, and you try to stop them, they are very strong. They want to get to their loved ones. It's almost like this with people that do not want to obey the words of God. They want to rush right into hell. No matter how you try to stop them, prevent them from going, they want to go. But the Bible teaches that there is this man called Jesus. Following his words will save your soul. This man Jesus says, open your ears and listen. And if you listen, you will find this scripture, repent therefore and turn again, that your sin may be blotted out. We must repent of our sins. And as long as we don't, we are going to be lost. And we know this particular scripture, the day of Pentecost. After they preached, the people wanted to know, what is it we must do? And Peter and the others told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible has the words of life. And God has freely given it to us. The message of the Bible is powerful. It will only save the hearer if they obey. If they don't obey, it has no effect. But we can't blame God, because God said, here is my way to get to heaven. And we should have this attitude like Paul did when we're trying to teach people and telling them, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Bible is for everybody. It's not for a select group of people. Salvation is for everyone. If they believe. In Mark 8:38, for whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. What I've been noticing, this particular Bible program leaves off words. But we know that God is going to return, and when he does, if we are ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of us. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, I don't know about you. Why would anybody want to be the enemy of God? Well, I guess you wouldn't mind if you don't believe God is powerful. If you believe God does not exist, you're going to do that. But if you believe God is the God that created this world, He's all powerful, you will take heed. The Bible, the words of God, tries to keep people from going to the lake of fire. But people are beating down the door because they don't believe the Bible is real. Well, man wrote the Bible. Yeah, he did. But if we believe it, it was by inspiration. If we believe, and that's the whole key to all of this, if we believe all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. If we believe, your soul depends on you believing. Your soul depends on if you believe the right way. If the Bible is unheeded by men, where are they going to go? If we don't believe the Bible, where are we going to go? Well, you know, the scripture gives us some hints. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We know the story there. People turned away and they left. But Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? Jesus asked him, are you going too? Where are we going to go? And I think most of us know the only place to go is to Jesus. And we need to try to tell people the same thing. For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. And if you think about it, it is folly. What truth is there? But I tell you what, you better believe it. Because if you say it's a bunch of words, it's a bunch of guys that got together. But you know, we have said this many times from this pulpit. Yes, a bunch of guys did get together. But look at how it came together. None of us in here can do anything that way. Because first of all, we want to do it our way. These men wrote it the way God said to write it. And it makes sense. So, Acts 8 and 12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. If what we teach people, if what we read for ourselves, and we believe it, it's going to keep us safe. Because evidently, everybody in here, they believed the preaching. And they were baptized. And God added us to His church. Now all we got to do is to be faithful until the end. Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the words of Christ. A thought came to my mind this morning in Bible class, is that this world wants to believe everything there is. We go through school, there's the history books, And we read about people in the past, and we will believe they existed. But when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to God, we say it's a fairy tale. Well, I got news. If we believe what we hear from the Bible, that fairy tale will save our lives. But if you reject it, you will be lost. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." Our job is to teach. Teach what the Bible says. And then if we believe it, or they believe it, they will be saved. The saying is trustworthy and deserving a full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Paul realized that he was a sinner. Now, Paul was a different character, because God came to him. Which one of us here was struck by lightning or whatever to get us to heed the words of God? None of us. But it happened to Paul. And so it changed his life. He wrote the words which should change our lives and change the lives of those we come in contact with to keep us from going to hell. Y'all saw that? I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. That's what Jesus came here for. Again, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And we see the power of the gospel. We see the power of those that are willing to listen. It says here, one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. You know, if we truly believe, then we will go out and find others and try to teach them the gospel. But if the gospel only comes to us and we don't go out and do anything, what good are we? Because somebody found you. Somebody came to you to see if you were interested in the Bible. Now, I believe an interesting point is this. When you are ready, God knows it, and he in turn is going to send someone to you. And if your heart is right, you're going to obey. But you know, it's not for us. We look for opportunities. And those opportunities will come sometimes, not too often. But when they do, we better be ready. You know, Most of us in here is married. Most of our spouses are Christians. But there are some that their husband and their wives are not Christians. And by the influence of you, your faithfulness, your dedication to God, possibly will cause them to obey. It may not. But you as an individual that starts off now, single, young, knowing what the Bible says, you would want to find someone that is already a Christian. It makes it easier. But we say love is blind. Yeah? And if you marry someone that's not a Christian and they don't obey the words of Christ, think how difficult your life will be. And I know an individual right now that that's part of his problem. His wife is not a Christian. His wife is a hindrance to him. But I tried to tell him in the beginning that you must watch out. But he didn't listen. Here's an example of someone who was told something and they went out and told others. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." It's how we present to other people whether or not they will believe. That should be our goal, is to tell the story of Jesus in such a convincing way that people will want to hear about this person. They would want to study what this person had to say. God provides people to stop people from going to hell. We are to tell people, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And so, how energetic are you in telling other people that Jesus came here to save them? Is it just a game that you're playing? I'll tell you a little secret. I don't like this way because it's messing me up. According to the way I got my notes, it's doing what it wants to. Now I think I'm caught up with it, and we'll see. But one of the things that we need to remember, that every one of us in here has the ability to influence other people. But do we do it for the good, or do we do it for the evil? In 1 John 5:20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, And we are in him who is true, in the Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. In Jesus Christ is eternal life. Without him, it doesn't work. Now, I thought I went through and corrected the twiceness of things, but evidently I missed one. In Luke 24:45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. You know, the more that we study together, Bible classes, studying ourselves, the more we understand what the scriptures say, the better understanding that we get. Because the first time we saw it, we possibly did not understand what was said. And one of the things that I do like about Bible study is when we all talk, because every single person has a point of view, and possibly something that someone has said will make it easier. And then we could share what we have learned with others. And Jesus says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. He was talking about the apostles and what the apostles had to say, but that is us. We believe in Jesus through the words that we have here. That caused us to obey the gospel, because we believe that this person, Jesus, lived, and he's saving my life. Now, we have a job to do, and that is to watch over one another. A lesson that Chris will be given, am I my brother's keeper? And I say yes. Because every one of us in here should be watching out for each other to make sure we do not fall into sin. And when we do, we should be able to go to that individual and talk to them and let them know what's going on. Because sometimes when we are in sin, we don't see it as sin. And if we're close to one another and someone comes and tries to show us, then we realize this person is doing this because he loves us. But if we're not close to one another, we don't even need to bother. He says here, my brothers, if anyone among you wander from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sin. So we have an obligation to watch out for one another. What was said here in our announcement, there's people here that we haven't seen for a very long time. And which one of us has been bugging them? Which one of us has taken the time to say, hey, where are you? What's your problem? And if we don't do that, shame on us. We all got cell phones, so we can't say, I can't get in touch with nobody. They may not answer, but the fact remains, we ought to try. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, keeping watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Our goal is to try to restore one another. That's why we have all of these scriptures, so we can see what the scriptures say. We can know what the scriptures say. And when we go to our brothers or people in the world, we don't have to guess, what am I going to say? We got God's word. We know this, and I've seen this happen. Someone repents, and everybody shuns him. That's a shame. Because they sinned against God, not us. And so when a person repents, we should comfort them. We should do everything that we can to make sure they do not fall into that same trap again. Because if they fall away again, I don't believe they're coming back. And we have an obligation to be here for one another, to share with one another. Because, you know, to sin and realize that you've sinned, it's a hard thing. Especially if you want to come back, because you're saying, how are my brothers and sisters going to treat me? And their staying together depends on us. Because if no one comes to them with the tender heart, they're not going to stay. And we're told, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgives you. We should always remember that. If a brother sins and we don't forgive, Christ is not going to forgive us. Another roadblock that is put in front of us is Christian mothers, Christian fathers. God has put them there to help us get to heaven. In Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwells first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwell in you also, because they were teaching Timothy what he needed to believe in. And I know a lot of the parents here is doing that same thing with their children. These ladies in here is taking their time to teach the young about Jesus. And as they grow older, we all should take a part in trying to teach them about Jesus. We need to build their faith the right way, because they are the future church. Because all of us will eventually die out. But if we don't lead them with the right information, it's going to be a sad state. 2 Timothy 3:15, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That is what we hope to teach our children. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's the Savior of the soul. We need to do it in the right manner. You remember the story of Moses? they were not supposed to have, if they had children, if it was a male, they were to be killed. Well, we know the story. Moses' mother had her son, and it says when she couldn't hide him any longer, she put him in the river where the daughter of Pharaoh was. And it's an interesting story, is that his sister Miriam was watching, and she found, Pharaoh's daughter found the baby, and she came along and said, hey, you know, I can find someone to nurse him for you. And she said, go do it. And it was his own mother. The teaching of Moses was from his mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Now, in this passage here, it talks about Moses. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to a reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the danger of the anger of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, this scripture here versus what we read there in the Old Testament, Moses fled for his life. But God tells us there was another side of that story. First Samuel 1:27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. That was Hannah praying for a child. She got one, and she said, it belongs to the Lord. Psalms 6:9. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. Another thing we want to take into consideration, the roadblock, is the cross. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, have you ever thought about this? Is that a cross, somebody being crucified, there to save the world. But that's what God said, the folly. In Corinthians it said, but to those who are called, both Jew and the Greek, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. He died on that cross to save our lives. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world had been crucified to me, and I to the world. When we look at that cross, our sins were taken there, and we should have died to the world when we came out of the water. That's the way it should have been. And Jesus said, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. With his dying on the cross and his resurrection, his going to heaven, and anyone followed, he will draw them to him. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of God, Son of Man, be lifted up. We know the story about the bronze serpent. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. Jesus tried to tell individuals, I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. That cross told us about this guy, Jesus. In John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So all the gimmicks of the world to be saved, the all surefired way is God. God loved us that He sent His only begotten Son to save us. That's what we got to believe. That's how we have to view things. But God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, the next day He saw Jesus coming towards Him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." Come back. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us, how will he not also with Him graciously give us all things? Now that's love, that He gave His Son for us. I gave them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Ezekiel again, say to them, as I live, declared the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declared the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? And see, all of those things God has put in our way to keep us from being lost. The sad thing about it, there's many people that call themselves members of the Lord's church, and they will perish because they do not heed those barriers. I hope that's not us. I think all the time that I do not want to be one of those that will be lost. And I don't want to see anyone here lost. But you know, if I am lost, if you are lost, it's because you made the choice to not heed the Word of God. It's there for us to read. It's there for us to see. It's there for us to obey. If there's any need that you have of this congregation, we ask that you stand and make it known.